You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Monday, December 5th, 2016, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. My name is Greg Sussman, joined as always by the King, Scott Angle, the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, and Tony Zicata as well, and we rock into Week 14. Gentlemen, we're here. The playoffs, for some of us, are upon us. The playoffs and the season is over for some of us as well. Hopefully not for any of you listening at 844-843-6879, 844-843-6879. Good morning, gentlemen. What's up, Scotty?
How you doing? Good to see you guys. And, you know, interesting fantasy day. I had four must-win games. I won.
Have you ever gotten on here and say it was not an interesting fantasy day? Just wondering.
No, because, you know, you want to start your week in a positive manner.
No, so no matter what, the day before was always interesting.
I think we're going to say that every day, except for maybe one of those days in baseball season when there's no game.
Okay, fair enough. I was just wondering. Continue.
But you know, it was an interesting day. I had four must win games. I won one, I lost one, and I got the other two hanging in the balance tonight in very interesting fashion. If you guys want to hear about it later, it's very curious. And I cashed out in DFS despite having Marcus Wilson and Drew Brees.
Well, that's a pretty good team. Imagine how much money you really could have made. Corey, how are you feeling, buddy?
I feel good.
You're in.
I feel good. Not only am I in, it looks like I am. I guess if we can get Nate Silver to do the projections, I feel pretty good about hitting.
Probably don't want to do that.
About hitting the FFWC dominator, having the best record and the most points. I need T.Y. Hilton to not score 30.
Okay.
The tricky one, though, is I need Matt Forte to not score more than 17 in the PPO.
Okay, I'll be close.
Wow, it's amazing that you said that, because I have a situation where in one of my leagues, I need Matt Forte to score 18.
Wonderful.
I have Forte going, and he doesn't have anybody else going. But in my other league, Forte's going against me.
Yeah.
And I have Dante Moncrief, and I'm down by 3. So,
wow.
Yeah. So it's very unique, like that.
So it's going to be interesting.
So what I need is for Matt Forte to score 18, and then for Moncrief to score like 25.
Yeah, well, I don't need Matt Forte to score 18, Scott. That would make me sad.
I don't want to do it at your expense. Wait, is this a money league?
This is it. Yeah,
Corey's not playing.
I'll take the hit for you.
We can go to Burger King.
I'll take the hit for you.
But yours is not a money league?
What's that?
Your league's not a money league? I don't care about your league then. I'm trying to get the fantasy exec paid here.
Yeah.
Well, you don't care about my league, but I care about my league.
Right, but I care more about Corey because there's money involved.
Well, That's why you're a Hall of Famer.
That's a good point.
Good morning, Tony. I said to Corey, though, just because he's my friend,
yeah.
I said, you know what? Ultimately, I'll take the hit for you if
that's
that
a good
happens.
Guy right there.
That's a good friend. Tony Zicata, how are you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling good. I came up big in my season-long leagues. And, Scotty, this one's for you. I'm in 12th in a tournament tonight.
Right.
In a tournament, and I have Jack Doyle still left, so I can make a little hay. I know a couple people have, I'm guessing, Indianapolis wide receivers. They have wide receiver positions open. But I started Tyler Lockett and Jermaine Kearse in Daily Fantasy yesterday.
Wow. I started Ladarius Green yesterday.
He was part of the team.
Yeah.
So I had Wilson, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Antonio Brown, Kearse, Lockett, Ladarius Green, Jack Doyle, and Seahawks. I used two tight ends, Scott. Didn't I give you a hard time about that in the morning?
You know what? You did originally, but I think you were just messing with me because you told me ultimately to go with it. You know, but that's not the lineup.
And I did the same thing.
That's not the lineup that cashed, though, so you know, because I got a few other players that didn't do anything on that, but I actually survived Marcus Wilson and Drew Brees on DraftKings because I had Jordan Howard, Michael Crabtree, Golden Tate, and Ladarius Green, and the Broncos defense.
Well, the Millionaire Maker winner actually had two tight ends in his lineup yesterday, Dennis Pitter and Ladarius Green.
Wow.
How about that? How about that? So, you know, it's interesting. So I'm headed to the playoffs myself
good
as well.
Good job, Greg.
Thank you. Not because I did
Who's
anything.
Who's better than you?
I lost, actually. I got help. I backed in.
Oh, you backed in.
Well, once you're in, you can win, though, buddy.
All you got to do is get in.
That's
right?
True.
Right.
Yeah. Get in.
Yeah.
It's like the guys say, just get in.
Right. So, I Scott, look to Corey for a laughter on that one that you didn't get. That
Corey's
was great.
Not paying attention. That was
awesome. No, I got it.
Yeah,
I
know,
got
Corey,
it.
Corey's a professional. That's
yeah,
what it is.
I'm trying to. We had to talk about
we
this
did.
The other day.
We did. He's professional.
Says the guy who asked me if I was gay because I listened to Barbra Streisand.
Oh, my God.
That's, again, professional.
You were the one that said that.
Who was bringing it up here on a Monday morning?
Who originally said it?
You know.
Yeah.
That was the old days.
That was like a week ago.
Anyway, yeah. So this morning, you know, I wake up, and I know I'm in the playoffs, and I'm walking. And it's early in the morning.
Did you feel that. Good knowing you're in the playoffs?
So I'm feeling really good. I walk out, right? And it's early in the morning. We get this fresh air, and it's a little rain, but like rain kind of feels good coming down.
Cause yeah, because it's not pouring.
It's not pouring, exactly.
Like it was the other day.
Right,
yeah.
right. So it's like raining, and then the water's like kind of cold, but the fresh air is so nice. And I'm walking, I'm like, wow. This feels really good until it started raining much harder, and I put my hat on. I'm like, all right, I'm off of this. But yeah, Scotty, it was the playoff walk. It was like, even though I didn't wind up winning yesterday, I felt really, really good. I feel really, really good this morning because I have a shot at it. It's got to win the next couple weeks, and glory could be upon me. So we're there, and I'm excited about the possibilities this week. I started Marquise Wilson yesterday. That felt awful. But we'll talk about
he
all
got
that.
Injured. It's not something that you can help, you know.
I mean, even before he got injured, things were not going well.
What was he going to do? I mean, yeah. How many passes did Mike Beckley get? I mean,
Josh Bellamy had 4 for 92, I think.
Yeah. He could have ended up with like 4 yeah. for 40. He could have got you 8 points.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. Let's start there, guys. Let's start with that game because, like, why not, right? Chicago played the San Francisco 49ers in the snow. Matt Barkley versus Colin Kaepernick in the snow. And that didn't last long because Colin Kaepernick was 1 of 5 and then got benched. The fantasy savior, Corey Parson, benched against the Bears.
I tell you what, everybody that we had to talk into trusting Colin Kaepernick and letting their...
They're not listening
and
anymore.
Letting go of their grudge and stuff like
They're
that.
They're not listening.
And they finally bought in, and last week they put him in their lineup, and I'm like, yeah, I love you, man. You're my best friend, Colin Kaepernick. I forgive you, buddy. USA. USA. Yeah. And then this week they're like... I'm not going to say it. Well, I should have known better than to trust that beef.
Yeah, well, his mouth finally got him in trouble, basically, what happened here. Because he only threw 5 passes. It wasn't like he was playing terrible. But somehow he decided before the game to tell people or leak to people that he was going to opt out of his contract, even though there ain't going to be another team that's going to take him as a starting quarterback. And I think San Francisco stuck it to him.
That's more than likely what it is.
I agree.
I agree with Tony, not to mention the fact that they could have been trying to, you know what, let's go ahead and tank this one and get this number one draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's possible, too. Did Chip Kelly say anything after the game about this?
I didn't see anything.
No, I went searching for quotes, and right. He just said, you know, I put Gabbert in because I thought we needed a spark. When you got to put Blaine Gabbert in for a spark, yeah. You know, that's the rubbing a lot of sticks together right there. So.
You want to light the place on fire is what he meant.
I think it came down to they really didn't trust him to throw the ball in those conditions.
That's crazy.
No, I don't think it did. I think it really had something to do with this guy's going to come out and tell the team we're leaving with 4 games to go. And where does he think anyone's going to take this guy? I actually went through it. No one's going to take a shot on this guy other than use him as a capable backup.
You don't think Hugh Jackson will take a chance on this guy?
No, I think he'll go with Robert Griffin III.
I got to tell you
something. Hugh Jackson's in enough trouble. That guy on his team.
Hugh Jackson don't want to draw no attention to himself right now.
Can you imagine going 0-16 and saying, you know what, Colin Kaepernick's the guy I need? No way.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah, buddy.
Is that all the girl right there?
She's my friend, yeah.
Now, why'd you get so defensive? She's my friend. What are you talking about? I just said hi.
So why don't you illustrate what you're talking about for the listening audience?
No, it's a young lady that was at the glass, you know what I'm saying?
And Rockin' Riley's. And Rockin' Riley's,
yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Stop giving the address out,
yeah,
man.
Scotty, come
this
on.
Is a public studio.
Yeah, but
you
Scotty, we don't have no security here yet.
Yeah. The door is wide open here.
Yeah, exactly. Marriott Renaissance Hotel, 5th floor. It's a public studio. There's a young lady
Greg,
who's saying hello to Greg Sussman.
Yeah, well, you know, Greg.
Yes, Tony.
You don't have to worry about it. You don't say anything controversial. You just need those other two guys to stop talking about who everybody that walks by and waves.
I agree. You know, it's funny because all these guys here, she waving at you. I'm friendly. I make friends with all these people that work here. I'm sorry.
No, I understand, Greg, but I noticed she came over here today. You know what I'm saying? The two of you made eyes. You know what I'm saying? That's the homegirl from last week that you said. Did you say has your girlfriend met her yet?
No.
No, okay.
No. Okay. Well, the only reason is because she works in the morning.
Oh, okay.
My girlfriend's sleeping and goes to work.
Oh, yeah. Next time we have a party or something and she comes down.
Absolutely.
We make sure that they get the proper introduction.
Absolutely.
Suspect's trying to make like he's not a wolf like the rest of us.
I'm not.
Yeah. Ever done what, Tone?
I'm not saying this is the case, but I want to clear this out for people. But if you ever had if someone you were interested in or fooling around with, have you ever introduced them to your girlfriend or wife?
I've done that before.
Was that comfortable?
Well, you know, at some point you just got to say, okay, listen, I can't look too crazy out in these streets. Say, hey, baby, this is Tina. Tina, this is my girlfriend. And Tina's like, girlfriend? And you're like, just go with it. You know what I'm saying? Just like, I'm sorry, Tina.
Boy.
But that was when I was in my youth when I did stuff like that. Now
you've become much more mature.
Yeah, I'm much more mature, and, you know, I take things more seriously.
Would you say you're trying to settle down? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm just, you know, I don't, some of my
he's
ways.
You're much more discreet.
Yes, exactly. And tactful, you know. And yes. I'm more of a one-woman man nowadays.
Really?
Yeah. Come on, Greg.
You know what Tina thinks?
That was in the past, my youth.
Okay.
Fantasy executive youth.
How long ago was his youth, Greg?
Not that long ago.
Don't worry about
this
guy.
Not that long ago. He's a youthful man.
Let's get back to football.
Now we get back to football, right?
We've already put Greg out there. Let's get back to football.
Thank you, Corey. I appreciate that.
I changed the subject.
Yeah. So Marquise Wilson, it was interesting with Marquise Wilson. So the Red Zone did not put a lot of this game on because obviously why would they, right?
No reason to.
They were getting complaints, actually.
They were. They were.
Yeah.
100%. Because nobody wanted to watch a stupid game. And one of the passes they showed was an overthrow to Marquise Wilson. And I was like, wait a minute. He just came up lame. Nobody's saying anything about it. I'm searching Twitter, and I'm searching fantasy websites, and no one is saying anything about this. And I'm like, I'm positive I watched this guy come up lame in that brief shot that I saw. I knew it. And then every time I went back to the game, at no point was Marquise Wilson on the field again. I'm like, could someone just confirm to me that this dude is not just out because he sucks, or that it's snowing because he's hurt?
I saw that happen twice, like during the game, the Sunday night game. It's like everywhere on Twitter, they were reporting that Cam Newton was disciplinary reasons, and you know the reason why he didn't play the first play.
Right.
And the guys on NBC are speculating, etc.
Right.
Then I saw Thomas Rawls take a hard hit, and Tremaine Pope was in the game.
Right.
And I'm saying to myself, and I'm looking on Twitter, like there's nothing about Rawls.
Right.
And the announcers don't say anything. Then I realized Tremaine Pope has like played an entire series, and that he's standing on and Rawls is standing on the sidelines with his jacket on. And finally, like about 10 minutes later, they say he was being checked for the concussion protocol.
Bad job. It's a bad job. By the networks here.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Bears, though, led by Jordan Howard, 32 carries in the snow, 117 yards, 3 touchdowns. He left the game. He came back. It was a monster performance to get you into the playoff score with Jordan Howard.
Yeah, Jordan Howard been good down the stretch. He looks like one of the guys that owners can lean on, saying one of the fantasy pickups of the year. As a rookie, we kind of felt this was going to happen. Guys were down on Jeremy Langford. You know, most of the industry was in on Jordan Howard. Nando was in on Kadeem Carey. But Jordan Howard ends up being the guy here. And he really carried team down the stretch, impressive performances. So 3 touchdowns yesterday to go along with 117 yards in the big workload. So Jordan Howard is a play going into your playoffs, and he is rolling right now.
You know what's crazy about this?
Yes.
There's a lot of guys that like Jordan Howard yesterday, right? A lot of guys that put him out there. And he came through. He had 3 touchdowns, 117. But if you really look at it, this is what the beauty and the absolute uncertainty of fantasy football is. Because you can project that Jordan Howard's going to have a good game, but he didn't. He averaged 3.7 yards a carry. He got 32 carries. And because he got that 3 1-yard touchdowns, he puts you over the top. And that's when people talk about, is fantasy football hard to predict? It is hard to predict because you can't account for the variances. And the 3 touchdowns are the difference makers.
Sure.
And if he was tacking on the 1-yard line, this is just an average, ordinary game. And 3.7 yards a carry actually puts you in one of the 10 worst running back positions in all of the National Football League.
Yeah, it's to Tony's point, you know, you watch the Buffalo game.
Exactly.
And, you know, LeSean McCoy's only getting 17 carries. Mike Gillisley gets 2 touchdown runs.
And Shady was going off.
7.6 yards a carry. 7.6 yards a carry.
And Gillisley gets a touchdown. So, yeah. But one thing that we do know about Howard is he does have a nose for the goal line. Yeah. So it's hard to predict touchdowns.
Yeah, but how many touchdowns did the Bears score? Like, I mean, you're going out of your way to say that a guy can have 3 touchdowns in a Bears offense.
That might take
4 weeks.
I think he was safe for one.
I think people were expecting like an 150-yard, 160-yard game, you know, against San Francisco's defense. But he just got the points otherwise, maybe not how we predicted it.
Yeah, yep.
So
against San Francisco, you're going to get somehow.
With San Francisco here yesterday, Blaine Gabbert, back in the saddle at some point. Colin Kaepernick comes in. Obviously, the snow. Vance McDonald, too. I mean, Carlos Hyde was good, right? Not good, but good enough for fantasy. 20 for 92. Yeah. You didn't get the touchdown. He had 92 yards rushing. It was in the snow at San Francisco. I don't know.
What I would like to do this morning I want to hear from the dudes that had Colin Kaepernick in their lineup yesterday. And took that zero from Colin Kaepernick yesterday. I want to hear from those owners because I want to see.
It wasn't zero. It was two.
He had a two. I'm sorry.
He had 20 rushing yards.
I want to hear from those owners this morning. And more or less, I want to see. I want that emotion of I was against this guy all year. I refused to pick him up. I finally picked him up. Yeah. Believed the hype. He was a top 5 ranked quarterback going in this week. I needed him this week. Hit us up on Twitter, but especially on the phone lines. I would like to hear from that owner, those owners, just to hear that raw emotion this morning of, you know.
F you.
That F you. You know what I'm saying?
I started Kaepernick over Russell Wilson, but I wasn't going to win my game anyway. So, you know, and I had believed in Kaepernick, and it just didn't go the right way.
No, it did not. But, hey, we're keeping it on the positive side of things. We're optimistic. Well, all of us are headed to the playoffs. Hopefully you are, too. 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. We take a break. Now, when we come back, let's talk about Russell Wilson, the Seahawks, a little bit. What went on with Cam Newton? What everybody thinks of that about that? Let's talk about Sunday Night Football on the other side of this. This is the Roto Experts of the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You know, either you're in or you're out. But if you're in, this is only the beginning. We got 3 weeks to go. You're fighting for your fantasy championship. There's only one way to start that. It's at rotoexperts.com. And because we're starting that playoff push, right? You're there. You're trying to make it to the finals. We're letting you chat with the All-In Kid for free. None of this, you know, have to sign up for the exclusive edge package. As much as we want you to, and we'd love you to, we understand how important this week is. It's the beginning of the playoffs. Chat with Jake, 11 a.m. today for free.
There you go.
So somebody wins it.
All our chats and this week are going to be free.
Someone wins and they got to talk to Jake Seeley?
They do. They don't have to. They don't have to. But, you know, Jake is one of the most accurate rankers in the industry.
Yeah, he's not the most personable guy in the world.
Well, he's accurate. Yeah, I'd rather a guy be accurate than personable.
Well, that's true.
All right.
Jake, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Jake has a lot of personality on this channel. It's like every day it's like Jake argued today about blank. He's always debating.
You know, race debate, all that good stuff. So Seattle last night, Carolina. Seattle puts a whooping on the Panthers last night. Lose Earl Thomas to a broken leg. That could keep him out for the rest of the year.
Probably will. He's probably going on IR.
Yeah. Marshawn Lynch returns to the sidelines in Seattle. How about that, Scotty?
That was interesting.
And the Seahawks defeat Carolina in the middle of the game, shaking guys' hands. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That was the weirdest thing.
He can walk in there anytime, but that's Marshawn.
And he did. In the middle of the game, he's just talking to the defense.
Did he hop over the wall or something? I felt like he did.
Like they had no idea he was going to be there.
That's exactly how I felt. Like he just jumped on the field or something.
I kind of agree.
How he got there.
He was just wearing like a sweatshirt. And he's like, the security guard, like who he knew, he gave some skills to one time. Yeah. Kind of just jumped over the fence and man. 40-7 a victory for Seattle over Carolina. Story of this game: was the Seattle offense and all these guys really contributing. From Tyler Lockett, who had 5 for 63 in the passing game, and also a 75-yard running touchdown. Thomas Rawls, over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jermaine Kearse had a nice game. Dougie Baldwin had a nice game as well. And as did Jimmy Graham, 6 for 63 in a touchdown. So really, anybody you started on Seattle last night came through for you.
Yeah, I was saying going into last night's game, this is going to be more of the offense you saw in the three games prior to last week. The offensive line got off to a little bit of a bumpy start, but then just everything fell together because they had more offensive balance. You know, Thomas Rawls had a terrific night last night. That's the Rawls that you saw of last year. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Right now it's unclear whether Tremaine Pope or Alex Collins was the handcuff, but Collins was inactive, but still, like, if Rawls would go down to an injury, I have to worry, wonder whether it's going to be Pope or Collins. They might be leaning towards Pope right now. The run. It was about the defense and the running game last night. You know, they had Michael Bennett back last night. They got more of a pass rush even after Thomas went out. You know, after that one touchdown catch, the defense played very, very good. It was a solid. You would have wanted more from Wilson from a fantasy perspective. You didn't have to. Baldwin wasn't a factor in the first half. He had an okay game. Lockett had his best game of the year, and you know, Graham's Graham. And what's really cool for fantasy owners, what struck me from a fantasy perspective is that Graham got stopped on the 1 yard line,
right?
And then Wilson made sure he shot him a touchdown catch on the next play.
Yeah, how about that? How about that?
Friends.
Best friends.
Yeah.
Best friends. But the story outside of Carolina here, I'm sure outside of Seattle, was the beginning of this game where Cam Newton was not the starting quarterback for Carolina. It was Derek Anderson. The report has it that he was benched for the first series due to not wearing a tie on the plane. I know not many people are here. It's early at Rock and Riley. Some people are watching us here. But raise your hand if anyone believes that story. Okay, looking around.
I do.
You do believe that story. Okay, we got one. Tony, you believe that story.
Yeah, because basically he has a clothing deal, and so I'm thinking that doesn't sit well with the Carolina management, and they made a point to go after this clothing deal.
My thing is, why would that not sit well with the Carolina management? You see what I'm saying?
I don't. The whole press conference thing afterwards that each and every week has become turned into a crazy situation. Seems like that, you know, that I wonder how his play has been struggling. Prior to two games, he completed less than 50% of the passes. I was wondering if they were just fed up with Cam Newton, want to get back to playing football, and they made an example of him.
Could be the situation, but it's like kind of like, why not do that earlier?
Right.
But I guess last year you were successful, so it was no reason. You know,
yeah.
Winning cures everything.
Sure. Winning cures everything.
So yeah. Tony could very well have a point there. But then by the same token, it's kind of like, it's kind of petty because, you know, he has the right to make an earning, but his first goal, well, his first priority should be towards the football team and getting in line with the rest of his team.
If they were 9-2, it would never have happened.
Yeah, it wouldn't have happened. So I see exactly where Tony's coming from, but I still think where there's smoke, there's fire. It could be a little bit something extra, but
yeah,
I can definitely see where this can
something. There just seems the order of the story, and I know people always expect kind of for some reason, Corey, people kind of expect the worst in Canada. Not that he's ever had these off-field issues in the NFL at all. But people just kind of expect some sort of downturn with Cam Newton, and it's maybe a personality when he loses, or there's something maybe not likable about him for certain people, and it almost seems like they were waiting for his shoe to drop, and it kind of dropped a little bit last night.
Yeah, but how much did it really drop? If we're going with what they're saying, it was an issue with clothing. Listen, he's having a bad season.
Wait, hold on. Let's think about this, right? We're benching him for a series. He didn't wear a tie, right, on the plane?
Yeah.
So if Ron Rivera says you need to go wear a tie, he's not going to have some lackey just go get Cam Newton a tie around the corner and he'll go wear a tie.
What he's saying was that the clothes, that they were in California for the week, and that his clothing was shipped off and that there was no tie in the clothing. So that was his.
Come on.
He
does anybody
buy a tie
believe
at the
that?
Airport?
Right.
Right.
There's some nice tie stores
probably,
at the airport.
We probably were taking a private charter, so they probably
you can't tell. You can't
in.
Send me an intern for the Carolina Panthers.
No, private charter from the airport, though.
Yeah.
What if Cam Newton said, you know what? I'm not getting a tie. I'm Cam Newton.
Yeah. That's probably what happened.
Yeah, I can see that being the
and
thing,
that's
too.
That's to Tony's point.
You know, Cam Newton, listen, the athlete, we know how good he is. He's having a bad season. He's not showing up. Poor performance. probably smelling himself a little bit from last year.
Probably.
Obviously, they've been smacked back down to earth now. I think he bounces back nicely next year.
Okay.
People that were drafting him in the third round back in August, I knew that was a mistake going forward. The value to him in 2015 was that he was being drafted so late. Sometimes double-digit rounds, you know what I mean? Kelvin Benjamin got hurt. So I think that's why he was such a big star on the fantasy scene last year in the finishing of number one guy. Come back expecting that again from a quarterback this year. I thought that was a mistake going into it. Now, moving forward, you got to look at Cam probably in that, still in that top 10 range. I think next season moves towards the bottom of that. I think he bounces back nicely, though, as a QB1. But this is a lost season for Cam Newton, fellas.
It is. And to your point, you know, I just think people don't think Cam is the most mature guy.
Right.
You know, when things are going well, he's happy. When he's not, you know, he pouts, you know, and comes, you know, puts the towel over his head.
Yeah.
People don't care for that.
And you know, LeBron James,
see guys be level-headed.
LeBron James did it, was like this for several years.
Absolutely.
At the beginning of his career. LeBron James was the same exact way. So I think, you know, we still
have
the...
In those finals he left, I mean, he ran off the court in the gigantic.
Exactly.
Right? And he grew up. He grew up. And I'm not saying
it's a maturity
thing. And I'm not saying Cam Newton can't grow, because we saw it with LeBron James. You're absolutely right, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
His dad's a preacher. He's got to be a good man.
Cam Newton pops a preacher? I didn't know that. I think Cam Newton pops look like he's 35. I'm like, that's your pops?
Maybe it's just his quote unquote pops.
Yeah, well, who knows?
Jay Stew, 11 for 50. He also fumbled it. But I got to ask the question.
You had a 29-yard run in garbage time that kind of padded that.
Yeah, it's even worse. Yeah. I got to ask the question, though, because we've seen it now. Here we go. Last night, Ted Ginn Jr., 5 for 80 and a touchdown.
Yeah.
55-yard, you know, long touchdown. The second after Earl Thomas goes down, they throw it deep to Ted Ginn.
Right.
It's three games in a row now. Ted Ginn's done this. Can we start Ted Ginn in the fantasy playoffs?
I feel like because he's had three good games in a row, now he's going to have three quiet games in a row.
He might.
But right now,
I have to ask the question.
You know what, though? I'm going to say yes, because right now he's their best pass catcher. Greg Olsen was nowhere last night.
Mm-hmm.
Kelvin Benjamin.
Nowhere.
Even if he was 100%, it's just like Benjamin just looks like he's not playing with any passion.
Yeah.
Benjamin has given up.
It looks like he has.
You know,
we saw him screaming on the sideline last week. I think Ginn comes to play, and they made a good point last night during the broadcast. He's a way better fundamental player than he was earlier in his career.
Ginn's a veteran, still has problems catching the football.
He's got speed. Obviously, has the speed he's always had.
He can get behind the defense. As far as playing him moving forward in your playoffs, I mean, okay, what kind of decision are you going to make as a flex where Ted Ginn can get in your lineup? I mean, really, Tyler Lockett or Ted Ginn?
Well, so I think people had that choice last night.
People still starting Tyler Lockett.
No, I agree with you.
And that's what I'm thinking the Ted Ginn thing is.
But I think people have considered that. I mean, like, we talked all week last week, right? The Marquise Wilsons, the Dontrell Inmans, the Quincy Nunez we'll see tonight. Like,
yeah, he's in that range now.
He's in that range. He's in that conversation. We had that conversation for 5 days last week.
And it's not just 1 week that we're reacting to either.
Correct. So I think that conversation has to be had. Corey.
So Dontrell, I mean, I think you got a Devontae Parker type. A Sterling Shepard type, you know what I'm saying?
You know,
a Will Fuller type, a Randall Cobb type.
Yes,
that's the area where you have to make that decision.
But I don't think that's a crazy area to ask, though.
It's so much dependent on that long touchdown.
But he gets it every week, 3 weeks in a row.
I wouldn't feel comfortable with it.
That's fine.
Ted Ginn or Taylor Gabriel?
There's a great question. Ted Ginn or Taylor Gabriel?
I got to go with Gabe.
I'm starting to believe again yesterday. Gabriel.
I think I'm going with Ted Ginn, Tony.
I just look at Taylor Gabriel as a better passing offense,
okay.
Like the whole Cam thing.
Yeah.
There and they score more points, so that's the difference for me. Because I would use them both, I think, depending on the matchups that you have and where they're playing next week. But Gabriel, really, Mohamed Sanu's taking a back seat to him in that offense.
I think I would go Gabriel because Gabriel can do the Ginn thing. But he can also, you know, take a screen and take it to the house. I think he's a little bit more versatile.
All right. He had five receptions. He had five receptions yesterday. You know what I'm saying? So I agree. I think that he's a part of this offense.
He almost had a near touchdown call back yesterday.
He did almost have that touchdown. Let's actually talk
about inches away from a possible
touchdown. Let's actually talk about that Falcons game last yesterday, which ended with the 2-point rule.
Oh my goodness.
A pick six for 2 points the other way on an extra point here.
Matt Ryan
resorted back to Matt Ryan throwing interceptions in the red zone.
I said people are ranking this team like fourth, third in the power rankings. I'm like, they're just not that good.
No, I still think they're good.
They're okay.
I still think
they're not one of the better teams in football or the conference.
I feel as if they'll have a good game against the Giants. They can beat the Giants in Washington in the Georgia Dome.
I agree.
They have a very tough game against the Giants.
I agree they could win, but would you be? Are you as a Giants or a Washington fan? Would you be at all intimidated going to the Georgia Dome?
If you're going to the Georgia Dome, you feel good about it.
I feel great.
If you're a Giant fan, if you're a Washington fan, you'd rather go to the Georgia Dome or you'd rather go to Ford Field?
I feel very happy.
I'm not a fan of either, but I'd rather go to the Georgia Dome because I feel like Detroit's playing better football.
I agree that Detroit's playing better football, but neither place scares me at all.
What do you think, Tony?
I would much rather play the Atlanta Falcons than the Detroit Lions. Detroit Lions' defense has improved over the last
year. Yeah, absolutely.
They're getting to the passer. Slay is a guy that's a really locked down on team's number one wide receivers. I think the Lions are actually for real.
And the Lions did it yesterday with time of possession, 37 minutes, but also they were missing two of their starting linebackers yesterday, and they still played like that.
Let's take a break here. Let's talk about Atlanta in the Georgia Dome. Their loss yesterday to Kansas City. You know, my Kansas City Chiefs. We'll do that on the other side here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Rolling right along here. Atlanta Falcons lose at home to the Kansas City Chiefs, 29-28. Making your, by the way, we'll get to this next hour, Corey, making your Tampa Bay Buccaneers look even better week after week, man.
How about that? They keep getting it done, my guy, Jameis Winston.
They're getting it better every week here.
Yeah.
Even without Mike Evans having a good game.
Yeah.
Went to Cameron Brate. They took Evans out the game.
Yep.
Evans had a tough matchup yesterday, but they took Evans out the game. And Winston relied on Brayton. We saw him like he used to do at FSU. It may not start pretty, but he ended up figuring out a way to get the W.
Do that in a second. But with Atlanta yesterday, Matt Ryan, you guys said going to the break, kind of reverted to Matt Ryan here, throwing that pick on the two-point conversion.
It wasn't really his fault. You know what I'm saying? Matt Ryan's having a very good season.
Absolutely.
It wasn't really his fault. He had an offensive lineman get injured in the first half of the game. In the second half, he was under tremendous pressure throughout the course from the Kansas City front. So Matt Ryan didn't have the time to get the ball downfield like he normally does. So everything was dink and dunk, short passes. But, you know, that pressure in that red zone, he's got to make a better decision than that. So he has an out with the offensive line not being as playing as well yesterday. But you can't make that throw. But big game from Julio Jones. We like what we saw from Gabriel and Freeman with his two touchdown runs. It got exactly everything you needed.
Julio Jones is 7-for-113, but he was banged up there, Scotty, at one point. I mean, he was trying to stretch something out. He did come back on the field once Mohamed Sanu got banged up, but something was going on with little Julio yesterday.
He was saying after the game, you know, it's football. You're banged up. I'm okay because, you know, he had that start. I think, like, he caught
insane.
The
first
three
four, yeah,
that was the
first
game.
Four, yeah.
You know, they were targeting that matchup. He was avoiding Peters and, you know, playing on the other corner, and he was burning them. Still, he ended up with a very good game from Julio Jones. He's been playing through injuries all year.
He's been playing through injuries his whole career.
I think I'm done playing him in DFS, though. When you at, like, season long, you can't do anything different. But as far as DFS goes, when he misses those plays, and if they get a couple touchdown lead, I could see him not going back in the field. And, in fact, he came back a lot of times with Sanu as the decoy on the other side of the play. And if I'm going to pay that much money, give me Antonio Brown every time.
Yeah.
Because he's going to stay on the field and be part of that. And I've just gone to that route watching. I played Julio Jones yesterday, and he put up 21 fantasy points, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying there's going to be a game where he's going to burn me, and I'm not going to be part of that.
Well, that's the thing,
like,
right? If you have Antonio Brown.
The previous week, yeah.
If you have Antonio Brown with Pittsburgh, they could be up 40, and Antonio Brown is going to still be on the field catching touchdowns. Julio Jones will not be, Tony. You're right.
No, so that's something to watch, especially if they have some offensive line issues too on the Atlanta Falcons team going forward. Season long, you throw them out there, you never worry about it. But when it comes to paying the amount of money you got to play on Odell Beckham, the amount of money you got to play on Julio Jones, Mike Evans, and Julio, that group, I'm done with Julio Jones, I think.
And even with moving forward with season-long leagues, he's kind of like a Dez Bryant type where you have to factor injury into Julio Jones going forward. You know, yeah, he's been playing for a long time, been playing banged up. He still has that screw on his foot. That hasn't given him no issues in a couple years now, but every now and then that screw loosens up on him. He has to go in there and get it tightened up. Wide receiver with a bad foot, big guy, hamstring issues, things like that, back issues. So I think, you know, I still think he's a top-notch talent, top wide receiver in the NFL, but for fantasy purposes, you have to begin to factor injuries into Julio Jones's game.
People didn't want to do that this past summer. We had a debate about the big three, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones,
and Odell,
and Odell Beckham Jr. Look, Odell's had hamstring issues here and there, but he's been more durable than Julio. I would rather have Odell, you know, than Julio next year.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Maybe even A.J. Green, too.
And Odell is, at least now, at this time, you know, to change the offseason, he's so much more of a funnel, like, in his offense, like, because, the Giants really don't, he's their weapon. The Giants don't have a running game. Atlanta's have a running game. They have more offensive balance.
They're always, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham are going to be relied on more than Julio Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting debate. You'd rather have Mike Evans next year as well?
I think I would. I think I'd rather have the young guy with my guy with my man Jameis. His targets are crazy.
Right now in a PPR league, on just using average games because some of them missed games.
Yep.
Antonio Brown's number one, 21.67. Michael Evans, number two, 20.48. Julio Jones is at three, 18.94. A.J. Green is at four, 18.64. Odell Beckham is at five, 18.54.
Okay, there you have it. There you have it, Tone. Good job. Good job right there.
How about that, though? Everybody nailed it, though, right?
Yep.
We've set these three guys out way ahead of everybody. Mm-hmm. Mike Evans was a guy that came in the first round late, and bang, they came through right there, one through four.
Absolutely. Yeah. Devontae Freeman yesterday.
Make us feel better about our Todd Gurley calls.
15 carries. 15 carries, 56 yards, gets in the end zone twice. Tevin Coleman did not catch a pass yesterday. Had 12 carries for 49 yards. This is still Devontae Freeman's backfield, and we said it, Corey, that Coleman coming back wasn't a bad thing for Freeman. Stayed fresh, nice find the end zone.
I think he had a chance to score. No, he did score on that same drive. But yeah, they give him the ball in the goal line. They give him the football. They you know what I mean. They shorten it up. They give him the football. They protect.
Coleman has
Matt
some chances
Ryan.
In there. Just didn't convert. Yeah. But they just trust Devontae Freeman there.
No, and he gets it done. You know what I'm saying. He runs well between the tackles. Has a nose for the goal line. I don't have no
great
problem.
Great cutback moves.
Yes. Absolutely. I watched that too yesterday. He was patient. Had a great cutback there.
He's got some of the best jukes and jump cuts.
He does.
You know, in the league.
I'll tell you what with Devontae Freeman. He has stayed healthy this year on the year, 785-7. I mean, if he gets you another, 200 yards here or so, this is what you kind of ask for when you draft Devontae Freeman, no?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the pass-catching ability, not to mention averaging close to 17 points a game. He's inside the top 10 right now, fantasy running back.
Over 1,000 total yards on the year. He's got almost double-digit touchdowns total. He's good.
Injury, not a thing.
Yeah, he's eighth.
Yeah. Yep, he's eighth on the season.
Eighth.
Injury is not a thing, you know what I'm saying? So,
You're happy with the draft.
I'm happy.
Coleman's there to keep him fresh, too.
Yep.
That's the thing. Coleman's kind of boom or bust. He's got the big playability. But, you know, Freeman is the goal line running. That offense is constantly going to be in scoring range.
Spencer Ware finally gets in the end zone again. He does it twice. He does it twice, and they're not being there in quite a while, as you pointed out last week, Scotty. Didn't have a great game overall. Did dominate the touches in this running game. It dominated snaps as well. Didn't have a great game, but the touchdowns kind of masked that.
He could have had a third touchdown.
Yeah.
Like Alex Smith. 60-yard score. Smith was just like, I can't throw that far.
Yeah, pretty much.
Are you crazy?
Forget it. But, you know,
why the hell are you running all the way down there?
But, you know, he had the touchdowns yesterday. We predicted a good game for him, and it came through. But still, you know, like Tony said, is the guy playing like not 100% because the yardage numbers weren't spectacular?
No, they weren't. But you'll take this, and he also dominated that, right? What? Jarkendrick West in one touch, right? Something like that?
Yeah. This guy has one game this season over 100 yards rushing.
Where?
He has well, one game over 100 yards rushing. I mean,
well, no, 131. You give me two touchdowns every day. I won't complain.
The thing about it is he doesn't have that many touchdowns either, though.
So you think he sucks?
That was the first time he scored since week six yesterday. Yeah.
I'm not saying he's...
Rushing-wise. He did have a receiving touchdown in week seven.
I'm not
seven.
Saying he sucks. He's just...
You're just not saying he's good.
Yeah, exactly. Be careful with this guy.
You get scared
going.
Because, like, he hadn't scored, like, total since, like, week seven, I think. And if you're not getting the touchdowns, you're getting ho-hum yardage.
So, for instance, so next year you're going to be out on Spencer Ware.
Who had a better season? Who would you rather have next year, Spencer Ware or Jordan Howard?
Well, that's interesting you say that. If you only use the averages, right, the averages, Jordan Howard's 10th in the league with 15 points per game, and Spencer Ware's 14th with 14.9.
Pretty close.
So, Howard's actually outperformed him this season, despite the great start from Spencer Ware.
Rather Jordan Howard for sure.
Yeah, we've seen more upside.
Spencer Ware had 33 points his first game, and then he had a couple of 24 and a 21. And there's another 20-point game, but this is a 7, there's an 8, there's a 6 in there. So there's been some dismal games for Spencer Ware fans.
Travis Kelce, your guy, Corey, he's gone off, man, the last few weeks. 8 for 140 yesterday.
3 weeks in a row, Travis Kelce been getting it done. I guess, you know, maybe without Macklin in the offense, it opens it up for him. He's also the guy they use down the field when they do decide to take a big play with Alex Smith. Travis Kelce is normally the target of those plays, so... He's having a, you know,
happy.
It may not be pretty, you
You're
know
happy,
what I'm saying,
though.
But he's had a pretty decent season. He's been really consistent the past couple of weeks. If you were on the outside looking to get in, if you were a team that had to go on the run to make the playoffs, and you had Travis Kelce, he punched your ticket for you.
100%. And also Tyreek Hill came through again as well. I thought, like, we worried about this kid's floor, right? That was always the question. Like, if he doesn't score, he doesn't pop off, what's he gonna do? He didn't kill you yesterday, Tony.
No, he didn't kill you. I actually played him instead of DeSean Jackson in my game yesterday. I had taken Allen Robinson out, then I put him back in, and the Tyreek Hill situation there, once Macklin was declared out, it was pretty easy to me. And they have a game Thursday night, so it's going to be interesting to see if Macklin was held out of the game for a divisional game on Thursday night, which could have been the case there instead of turning him around there. Or if Macklin's out again, I think Tyreek Hill's a guy you put back in your lineup.
Yeah, I agree with you as well. I have no issue with that.
Who they got on
Casey
Thursday
Oakland
night?
Thursday night.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be fun.
That'd be
it's a good
nice
Thursday
one.
Night game.
That'd be a nice one to start
Finally,
off the
right?
playoffs.
Yeah, right.
You end up being 9-6.
That's
right?
A good That's theoretically a good Thursday night game. Let's take a break here. When we return, I want to discuss Corey's Tampa Bay Buccaneers, his guy Jameis, his guy Mike Evans, and the surging Bucs who, you know, we talk about going into Atlanta. Into the Georgia Dome, maybe we should talk about going down to Raymond James in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
We'll do that next here on the Roto Experts. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers go into San Diego as underdogs despite being over 500. And they win 28-21. Phillip Rivers goes for it all in the fourth quarter towards Natrell Inman. Gets a little upset. I don't know if he got upset at Inman or not, but it was a bad throw on his part. So I don't know what the hell Phillip Rivers is screaming about. And I
oh, that's what he does.
Yeah, I was about to say, Tony. I don't normally understand what he's screaming about, but that was all his fault entirely. Phillip Rivers yesterday, 15 completions total, 225 and two. Leading receiver Melvin Gordon. Natrell Inman, Tyrell Williams, both had two catches, both had held under 50 yards, both did have touchdowns yesterday, so if you started them, you were fine. But this passing game for San Diego, which we thought was a good matchup, the second time in a row against Tampa Bay, we thought was a good matchup last week for Seattle, this week for San Diego, didn't happen here, guys. And I'm wondering if we have now been underestimating this Tampa Bay secondary, Tony.
I don't want to say that they have, but they put it together like overnight. They have a very good defensive line.
Yes.
And I think they're starting to get to the passer, and I think it's helping out the secondary, as in any team. And I think the same thing's happened in Detroit with that secondary. Once the defensive lines play better, the secondary plays better. I think it goes hand in hand. So this defense is there. And congratulations to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 2 weeks from now, they play the Dallas Cowboys. That game was flexed into the Sunday night schedule, so the Tampa Bay Buccaneers actually get a primetime game.
So how about this? Through your entire playoff run, the Cowboys are in primetime every single week.
Really?
Sunday Night Football against the Giants, Sunday Night Football against Tampa Bay, Monday Night Football against the Lions.
Well, you know, America wants to see their team.
And that's after two primetime Thursday games, Thanksgiving, obviously, and then last week against the Vikings. So that's five consecutive weeks you're not playing on Sundays for the Dallas Cowboys.
Have you watched that new NFL Network, the timeline about America's team?
I have a DVR. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it over the weekend. It was pretty interesting. Do you know how they came up with the America's team?
I told you that years ago,
okay,
Scott.
Okay, tell me again then.
NFL Films.
Yeah, who did it?
What's the guy's
name? Steve Sable.
No, Bob Ryan.
Really?
Yeah, Bob Ryan was like, just came to him in his office, and that was like after they lost the Super Bowl to the Steelers, and they wanted to come up with something positive to kind of take like, you know, like the negative spin off the whole Jackie Smith drop in the end zone. But
they were the underdog, lovable losers, like the Cubs.
I'm not sure
lovable
broadcast.
Losers, but they just didn't want to allude to that. They weren't lovable losers back then.
I'm not sure who was the broadcaster of this game, but it was either Phil Sims or it was some credible quarterback. He made an interesting comment, and he was talking about Philip Rivers, and he says that if Philip Rivers had played on a different team, and if he had played where Ben Roethlisberger or Eli Manning was, he was convinced that he would be a better quarterback than both those quarterbacks.
I think he would be a sure doubt, locked and loaded Hall of Famer with a couple Super Bowls under his belt if he would have been in either situation in New York or in Pittsburgh.
And it's back to Tony's point about the Buccaneers, though, the defensive line. That's right on point. And I think Jake Seeley was the one that said it on Old School Fantasy last week. You know, a lot of people will look at the season-long stats, but sometimes you should just look at, like, the last 4 weeks to see how a team is playing.
And the thing about him is, I mean, when you're drafting in the top 10 for the last 5, 6, 7 years, you're picking up these defensive linemen eventually.
If you're making good picks.
If you're making good picks, they're going to come together as a unit, and I think we're seeing that, and it's helping out the player, the secondary. So this is a legitimate playoff contender right here. I don't know if they can beat anybody when they get in there, but they're playing good football. My guy Jameis is getting it done once again yesterday. Started out with the interception like he always does. Comes into form. And then when he went 20 or 28 yesterday for 280 yards.
20-30,
yeah. The play of Cameron Brate, though, has been one of the bright spots at the tight end position, which has otherwise been down for the most part. He's coming in and getting it done. He had his best game of his career yesterday. So Cameron Brate, you know, he got a couple of games this season where he scored over 20 fantasy points. So he's getting it done, averaging 11 points per game on the season. So Cameron Brate is getting it done as the second option in the passing game. And then yesterday we see, what's this guy? This Freddie Martino. Is that his name?
Yep.
Yeah.
Here we go. If you got waiver wire in week 14, how much you putting on Freddie Martino?
$0.
But interesting what you said about you don't think they can beat anybody. I think the one.
Well, they're beating people now.
The one thing is you get into the playoffs and Winston has that interception thing. But how would you feel against them against Washington or the Giants though in a playoff game?
I don't know. I think it would be he can't turn the ball over like that against those teams.
He will.
Yeah. You turn the ball over against the Giants gonna beat you.
I wouldn't say that. You can talk about Jameis Winston.
Are they in it right now?
Tampa Bay? No, Atlanta's still in it.
Yes.
Tampa Bay's got the six wild cards.
Oh, they're in over
Washington.
Yeah,
they got the six wild cards.
Oh, I thought it was a division. Yes, they're in the six. They're over Washington right now, yes. You can say what you want about Cameron Brate yesterday and Jameis Winston, but Mike Evans might have cost you a playoff spot yesterday.
Yeah.
He might have, right? 3 for 38. I mean, that's not going to get the job done.
No, he was not. He did not have a good game yesterday. They kind of made it a point where they wanted to kind of get Mike Evans out the game, and Jameis did a good job of not forcing the football to Mike Evans. The guy who was guarding him for the most part of the game, I can't think of his name
right now.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah, he
is. But you can't be this number one wide receiver, this top five pick, and do this week 13.
No, I feel what you're saying.
Not every player is going to have
it. I know they won. Yeah. Oh, I know they won the game. I'm talking about for fantasy.
For fantasy.
You sound like Brandon Cooks now.
Not every player is going to have a great game every week. It's just the way it is.
What? I actually on the news show this morning said Brandon Cooks celebrated yesterday's loss after his 7 catches for 70 yards. The outcome of the game.
Doug Martin had 17 carries, 45 yards, a touchdown. Jaquizz Rodgers was his clear handcuff because he left this game late because he said he got just bent up.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but what I do know
nobody
is that
does.
Right, Jaquizz Rodgers was the guy that was in clock-killing mode for Tampa Bay yesterday. Any reason to be concerned about Doug Martin, Tony?
Yes. I think that eventually you got to get to a timeshare. Now, Tampa Bay abuses these backs.
Yeah.
Remember when Jaquizz Rodgers, he would get the ball 30 times a game. They had no backup there. But you think they need to figure out that they're killing these guys. Jaquizz Rodgers was actually way more effective. I'm not a Doug Martin guy.
Right.
I think they're going to get some time with Jaquizz Rodgers. I think he's going to get – and it will do good for the team to have both these backs play.
Yeah, I think Derek Coder has always had this affinity for Jaquizz Rodgers back in the days in Atlanta. I totally agree with you. I'm a Doug Martin owner. I'm not necessarily worried about Martin's availability, but I think Quiz is going to have a role, Scott.
Yeah, there could be a timeshare here because Rodgers did have the 30 carry games, but we saw him kind of wear out and then get hurt. You know, maybe it becomes a situation where these guys are splitting carries because, you know, Cutter's like looking at things that are going to work because he wants to make the playoffs.
Of course.
Doug Martin puts up fantasy numbers, but I don't think he scares most defenses.
He's not that impressive of a player.
Exactly.
But, he's serviceable. But if you were worried about what Mike Evans did for you, he has two games versus the Saints.
Well, isn't one of those week 17?
This is 13, 14. But this is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers schedule I'm looking at. Yeah. He passed the Saints on next week.
14 and 16.
And he had the Saints again in 15. In 16.
So they play two out of the last 3 weeks. That's ridiculous.
Two out of the last 3 weeks.
That's like absurd scheduling that you could do that.
They changed that because teams were resting guys, and so they wanted to have more division games, hoping they would mean something, so they changed that a couple years back.
Yeah, all right, fair enough. When we come back, we'll talk about Brandon Cooks and the Saints and how the Lions really are getting better and what Drew Brees did and did not do yesterday. We do that on the other side as hour number two begins here on the Roto Experts.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts is here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And if you want to chat with the man that's chatting with Pat Mayo right now on the Fantasy Sports Network television side, you can do it for free today at rotoexperts.com. 11 a.m. Eastern Time, he's talking with Jake Free. All of our chats today, this whole week long, playoff week number one, are free at rotoexperts.com. We were just talking about San Diego and Philip Rivers in general, and Kenny from Philly has a question regarding Antonio Gates. Good morning, Kenny.
What's up, Kenny?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Scotty, Tony, Mr. Bishop, thank you. Corey, what up?
Yo, yo.
What's going on, man?
Hey, man, let me get this rant out real quick. I agree 200% with Tony. Yeah, I know I'm a Saints fan, but this Julio Jones nonsense, this dude is never in the game in the red zone. Letting bum yaps like Aldrick Robinson and other guys named
Gabriel.
Hardy.
Oh, Justin
Gabriel,
Hardy, yesterday.
Gabriel, all these guys. I mean, what the hell is going on with that offense, man?
It's tough to see. Like, it's so crazy because he stands right next to the coach. Nobody says nothing, and he doesn't move. It took to Mohamed Sanu getting him injured to get him back out the field. And this isn't a one-time occurrence. This is happening every week now.
It happens all the time. It happens all the time, and I'm paying up this form in DFS. I'm with you, Tony. It's probably not going to happen again. All right, y'all, I'm in a situation. I just lost this week, so I'm not going to get the bye, but I'm going to be in a stupid wild card game, I guess. Man, it's Antonio Gates nonsense. I got Phillip Rivers. I know they still going to be trying to break this record. That's why I kept Gates on my roster. But the only other option I have going forward for the playoffs is Gresham, McDonald, Henry, and Derby and Sims. So I'm thinking about picking up Gresham and putting him on my bench. What do you guys think?
He's playing well, Palmer, right?
Yeah, he is. Gresham's been pretty good. I'd rather have him than A.J. Derby on my bench, personally. Gresham's looked okay over the last few weeks.
He's got 10 catches in his last two games, so I think they're trying to get him involved in the offense more. I think he's – I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think Jermaine Gresham is – do I want to say safe?
He's going to give you, like, a floor of maybe 8 to 10 points.
Yeah.
Well, you can't count on that from Gates.
I agree. Absolutely.
Because Gates can give you a donut.
He could. Yeah. And he has, really, just a week ago.
I wouldn't mind a donut right now.
We're at a bar, and there's a breakfast right there.
I know. They didn't bring us none, though.
You can
need to get a little girlfriend up at that work over
That's
here.
What you got
to
do.
Yeah. What about Ryan Griffin? He got 11.5, 7.6, 6.2, 9.7. He's consistent. He's never going to break the bank, but he's another option that are out there on waiver wires.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you, you didn't mention his name, but Ladarius Green must have been picked up by somebody in your league, right?
Yeah, Ladarius Green could have been picked up here. Could have been picked up, might not be. He's going to be, I would say, one of the top waiver wire ads here of the week. All around.
Yeah, Ryan
waiver wire.
Ryan Griffin had yesterday. He had 4 catches for 35 yards and a touchdown. So, yeah, it's kind of like a split in the passing game whether they throw to him or Fedorowicz.
Unfortunately, they're their two top targets, and they forget about the wide receivers.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic.
You know, actually started getting involved yesterday. This kid from Monmouth College for the Jaguars, Neil Sterling, actually caught 5 passes for 43 yards yesterday.
The Detroit Lions go into New Orleans. They don't just beat the Saints. I mean, this was never a close game at any point. I mean, they killed them. Right, they killed them yesterday. Nice job by Detroit going in there. 28-13, a victory. Drew Brees' first time not throwing a touchdown since 2009 at home, I believe. So he goes 326 and 3 interceptions yesterday. You started Drew Brees, and he killed you, Tone.
Yeah, at Daily Fantasy, I thought it was an automatic play. Like, I didn't know who else you would go against the secondary. And he didn't deliver it. But it proves, though, he could never have a really bad game because he did get over 300 yards passing. They threw the ball so much. It was just terrible to watch them not put anything together offensively. Mike Thomas was stymied by a good Detroit secondary game plan, and they didn't get anything going.
It's the NFL's a copycat league, and they did what Green Bay did last week, and they used the Dallas Cowboys model. They dominated time of possession in order to let their defense pin its ears back and come after the other team. They held the ball for 37 minutes, Detroit. Like they were saying, you saw Drew Brees sitting on the sidelines with his baseball cap, and the broadcaster saying, you want to beat that guy, that's where you want to see him, on the sidelines with his baseball cap.
You have he was at Matthew Stafford. Excellent yesterday for Detroit. Their secondary in Detroit played very well also. They had some form of a pass rush. I think you got to chalk it up as they just got beat. The Saints just got beat by a better team, came in there yesterday and beat them. And, pedestrian numbers from their offensive superstars, including Tim Hightower, who I started.
Including
yesterday.
Tim Hightower.
Yeah, Mark Ingram left the game at 1 point with the toe injury. He was running really well, but they got behind.
They did. Ingram 7 for 37 yesterday. Timmy Hightower 2 for 5 in the running game, 1 for 4 in the passing game. It's not going to get it done. And they were behind. They were throwing it all game long. This was very, very frustrating if you own these running backs yesterday.
You saw 2 drops from Colby Fleener yesterday.
Did finish with 5 for 86.
Josh Hill left the game with an injury.
Fleener finished with 5 for 86. As Tony mentioned on his news program earlier and just earlier in the show here, Brandon Cooks 7 for 73, celebrated the loss because he had 73 receiving yards. Michael Thomas only had 4 for 42. Willie Snead only 2 for 38. So disappointing day for all these Saints guys yesterday, outside of Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was wondering why, I'm in 12th in the tournament. I need to hang up to break even in daily fantasy. And I was wondering why, because I had some big scores. But then it's not really, I shouldn't wonder why. I had Drew Brees, a quarterback, and I had Mike Thomas in my lineup. And those two guys were the difference of me not making any money, because they just didn't deliver. Golden Tate was a good play in that game yesterday, as they just pounded him with the passing game. And he had a big play where the Saints thought it was touch football, and they still didn't touch him.
Yeah, he had this like back shoulder catch. It was just incredible yesterday.
So there you go, right there with Mr. Tate. Now,
yeah, Eric Ebron really wasn't a major factor.
Not at all.
Bolden only had like eight PPR points. In the running game, You saw Dwayne Washington in there quite frequently until he got hurt, and then they started bringing in Zach Zenner.
Well, this is a game they were up most of the game, though. Yeah. Let's be fair. I actually thought, despite Eric Ebron only having 4 for 38, I feel like all that was like on one drive. Like he was just dominating one drive, yeah. And then that was kind of it. Golden Tate had the massive play of the day, that 66-yard touchdown, which is a thing of beauty there. He led the way here. We obviously knew T.J. Jones at 3 for 49, no Marvin Jones yesterday. I don't know what he would have done. Obviously, we can't predict that. Ankle Bolden, 4 for 40. He was down at the 1-yard line.
Yeah, he almost had a touchdown yesterday.
And then Theo Riddick, 5 catches, 15 yards, but they put that touchdown in there. So Theo Riddick's kind of been doing what he's been doing all year.
Yeah, he got you about a dozen PPR points yesterday.
Thank God.
Otherwise, he just had like 15 yards.
That was a disaster, though, without that touchdown. Yeah. That was a disaster. Like, that was from the 2-yard line, too, and they threw the ball. So that was out of character. Eric Ebron, no. I want to go back. Like I'm actually going back, and I'm looking for pictures of him at North Carolina because I think he's eating his way out of the league.
He's fat.
I watch him play. Yeah, I never even remember him being this big. And when I watch him play and him run, he's a huge man. And playing tight end, that's not going to be good.
Yeah, Eric Ebron. But
they have him at 253 listed. He came in the league at 245. I'm going back, though, to see if this is true because sometimes they don't change those. So I'm going to find you in North Carolina picture of Eric Ebron.
I know what he's talking about with Riddick, though. It's like, you know, they were throwing passes to Dwayne Washington. I'm like, what's going on here?
Oh, it was so frustrating. Yeah. I had Theo in a couple daily lineups. And like I said, it didn't look as bad, but it could have been really bad if he didn't catch that one pass for a touchdown.
He would have like 18 total yards in the day.
Mm. Anything else? Anyone have any? Matthew Stafford yesterday, 341-2.
Excellent.
Excellent game from him. Spread the ball around, but excellent.
That's what the good quarterbacks do, they spread the ball around.
He'll never what?
He'll never be the Jets quarterback now. Detroit will pay everything they have to keep him.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
All right. Kind of been avoiding this part of the day, but I guess we can get into it now. Oh, no, you know what? We don't. We don't have to get into that because you talked about Ryan Griffith a second ago and CJ Fedorowicz. Let's talk about Green Bay and Houston here because Green Bay defeats the Houston Texans 21-13, another game that was in the snow. And I felt like that couldn't be good for the Brocket ship, Brock Osweiler. But Osweiler actually finishes with 202-2, zero interceptions. But outside of CJ Fedorowicz and maybe outside Ryan Griffith, as you guys have pointed out, I don't like anybody on this Texans team. Not DeAndre Hopkins, not Will Fuller, not Lamar Miller. Nobody.
Yeah, I agree with you. Miller left the game yesterday.
Came back.
Came back. We'll have to see what's going on with the rib injury. You know, they use a combination of Alfred Blue and Grimes when he was out. You know, he tries to soldier through the injury, but you got to be worried if you're heading into your fantasy playoffs with Miller. Hopkins was really quiet, and then he broke off a garbage time touchdown.
Yeah.
So if you did use him, that salvaged your day. But
It didn't salvage your season.
It might have, though, because he didn't kill you. He didn't kill you.
Well, I mean, but he's killed his owners, though.
Right, but so. I'm saying if you still had Hopkins, you still could have won your game yesterday, and you still could have gotten to the playoffs. You know, Will Fuller's too boom or bust here. I agree with you that you can't trust anybody except for maybe Fedorowicz.
Probably not. And
then again, you know, it could be right near the goal line. They'll throw to Griffin instead. So
yeah. Yeah, the Houston Texans, I just simply want nothing to do with them at all. I hate Brock Osweiler. I hate this team. Will Fuller, 559 yesterday, was fine. DeAndre Hopkins gets the touchdown. But do you trust any of this going forward? Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
What a horrible division that is.
Horrible. The other side of things, I think it's time. We're 13 weeks in, obviously. We're in the playoffs. But I mentioned this kind of last week, and I'm going to bring up the point again here, Tony. Jordy Nelson finishes with 8 for 118 at a touchdown yesterday, led his team in targets. And coming off his ACL injury, he has been, for those that got him, wherever you got him, the price that you paid for him, Jordy Nelson has been absolutely worth it. He has, as you like to say, got it done throughout this season. Nice season for Jordy Nelson.
Yeah, I read you the top four receivers that were everything that we – he's number five. So he has really overachieved.
Yeah.
And you want to look at a consistent option. He's the only one. Davante Adams, like, started out the season slow, put together.
Right.
Yesterday had one catch for fantasy owners.
Yep.
In that contest. And Randall Cobb, you saw come up. So he's been the one consistent option there. And I remember us as fantasy owners and talk show hosts, and I'm sure the people out there playing were the same way. We were like, oh, man, Jordy Nelson can't get any separation early in the season.
Yep.
And what do we do with him? He's not the same guy. He hasn't recovered. And I'll tell you what, the people that were patient, Jordy Nelson has absolutely not let them down. He has put together, he started out the season, I don't even know what we were complaining about when I look at it.
I know.
He had a stretch where he had 9 points, 1 point, right, in back-to-back games, week seven, six and seven. Then he put up 19, 22, 30, 11, 17, and 25 in successive weeks. And he didn't start out bad. He had a 15, 18, and 28, and we were still bitching and complaining.
We were complaining because we were.
Yeah, he's averaging. He's got
it was the eye test. It was the eye test for us. We were watching it, and it didn't pass it. Like, yes, we felt he was saving the day with a touchdown. We felt, even though Eli, that Aaron Rodgers was targeting him, we felt like something was missing, and we kind of ignored just the facts that he was scoring touchdowns almost every single week. He was being targeted a shitload every single week. The fact was, Jordy Nelson was the same Jordy Nelson we have come to count on, and here he sits through 13 weeks, 872 receiving yards, 69 receptions, double-digit touchdowns. It's been a tremendous year for Jordy Nelson.
In PPR leagues, in his last six games, he has 104 points. That's an average of 17 points a game.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Well, he also, when you saw the balance leave the offense with no running game, it's when he really started to pick it up. But he would have been there regardless. This is another solid year from Jordy Nelson.
Five touchdowns in his last six. He has... In his four of his last five, he has seven or more catches in every game.
Jordy Nelson, the 2016 Fantasy Football
Comeback Player of the Year,
Rocky Marciano Award winner,
Comeback Player of the Year. Randall Cobb's day saved by the touchdown. Only has 3 for 19. Obviously, the snow was there. Really helped out Jordy Nelson and his game, but. Corey, you mentioned the running game and the lack of it.
Yep.
And Chris DeMichael led the backfield in carries yesterday with 9. But the clear best runner in this backfield is Ty Montgomery. And I don't think there's any question about that. Montgomery had 6 for 40 yesterday. They used him on the goal line as well. James Starks only had 4 carries, finished with 1 yard. Is Ty Montgomery somebody that you should A, pick up, and B, could start?
Oh, man, it's so tough. I really don't want to start any of these Green Bay running backs moving down the stretch. I think you'd be putting yourself in a position where you're going to be crossing your fingers. A lot of people have dropped Ty Montgomery. Is he worth going back to the waiver wire to get if you have extreme issues at running back? Yes.
I can't see a situation where you would start him in your fantasy playoffs, though. Yeah. So, you know, maybe week 15 if you're super desperate against Chicago's. But he's got Seattle, Chicago, and Minnesota the next 3 weeks. I can't see doing it.
Okay. Tom, are you buying this?
I think there's enough issues with the running back that I could see taking a flyer, but I would say in 95% of teams out there, he probably doesn't belong.
Okay, fair enough. I liked Ty Montgomery. I thought that might have been something here. I guess not. Aaron Rodgers finished with 209-2. Tony, a lot of people crap on Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay in general. Where is Aaron Rodgers right now on quarterbacks?
You know, that's the funniest thing you mentioned that, because going into this week, he's another guy. We keep nailing these guys, and yet they are right there average-wise. So we take all the games and we put them in there. Aaron Rodgers, number one in fantasy football, 25.65 fantasy points. Tom Brady, number two, 25.43. Drew Brees, number three, 25.09. Matt Ryan down to number four at 24.58.
So Matt Ryan, the only one of those guys that we didn't see having this monster year, right? Everyone loves Drew Brees. Everyone loves Aaron Rodgers. Everyone loves Tom Brady. And if he would just replace Matt Ryan with Andrew Luck, everything would kind of be chalk.
And Andrew Luck is six.
So there you go.
And yesterday he scored 19 points. It was the first time since week six that he had scored less than 26 points in a game.
So for all the crap we're giving Aaron Rodgers or Aaron Rodgers takes, here he is as number one fantasy quarterback in all of fantasy football.
32 touchdowns on the season so far, tied along with Drew Brees for the top in the NFL. So, I mean, but here's the thing. Okay, I get it for fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's just like Blake Bortles. If you're a Green Bay Packer fan, though, you can't put the blame on Aaron Rodgers. He's doing the best he can, but he is the quarterback of the football team. When they don't make the playoffs, whose fault is it?
It's not Rodgers. Obviously, you're going to the games and going to the refreshment stands, and you're not watching, you know, if you're blaming Rodgers.
I'm not blaming Rodgers. I blame Mike McCarthy. I know a Packers fan. He hates Mike McCarthy with a massive passion.
Massive passion. Massive
Scott. Scott, don't knock the guys going to the refreshment stand because they supported your livelihood for the longest time.
That's true. No, I came to them, so they didn't have to go to the refreshment stands. I was walking in the stands serving the people who were actually paying attention to the games.
Really? So you're there to take care of them.
Yeah.
Imagine, do you guys tip? Do you guys tip the when you buy like bear of peanuts or whatever? Do you tip?
I do because I've been there, but a lot of people generally don't.
I don't think I tip. You know what? To be honest with you, I usually go to the concession stand. It's very rare that I'll buy something from my seat, I think.
Fantasy exec, do you tip them?
No. I don't think the bear and the peanut guys know. But now that Scott has put a face to it, I will take that into consideration.
You know who else was a vendor at Shea Stadium?
Who?
Gary Myers of the Daily News.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Speaking of tips, Corey, when you take a Lyft, like Lyft a lot, which is a car.
No.
You don't take Lyft.
No. You know, I don't tip them.
You don't tip them?
No.
Oh, interesting.
But it already comes out of your checking account. So
I know Uber they include it, right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. No, so I use Get, and let's take a break here. I'll explain what I'm talking about.
Yes.
On the other side, I also want to talk. You mentioned about Blake Bortles. I do want to talk about Blake Bortles because this guy just like it actually impresses me how terrible he is week after week.
He's so bad, it's good.
It is. I'm not even kidding. We'll do it next. You're the Roto Experts. So we're talking about tipping a few moments ago. And here in New York City, you have all these different car services that you can use.
I don't have this Get that you're talking about.
Okay. So there's Uber, right? I know you use Lyft, Corey.
Yeah.
That's your go-to. I use Get a lot and Via. Now, Via is $5 anywhere you go. It's a little carpool, but it's $5. You know, can't really beat that.
You got people in it with you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
It's fine. But if it's $5.
You're kind of a celebrity, though.
That's another thing. Like, people get in the car and they say, oh, fancy executives here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I probably need to ride alone.
Right. All right, so you want to ride alone. I don't know how much your Lyft costs. I don't use Lyft, but Get costs $10 anywhere you want to go.
By yourself?
By yourself. This,
I pay.
When
I come down, when I take a Lyft from Harlem down into like here, mm-hmm. it will cost me about like $17.
So you get $10. It's cheaper.
Get comes uptown.
Yeah, I believe Get comes uptown. Yeah,
right. What's the difference between all these companies?
They're just competing. They're competitors.
Yeah.
You got to use my promo code though. You know, give me that cash.
I still go old school on this though. I just call the local cab company and have them come pick me up.
That's more expensive. That's why I use these things.
Yeah, but they pay their taxes, unlike our president-elect.
Right. So anyway, so the reason we bring this part up was, so Get cost $10, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it usually costs me like $11.38 because I have a pre-programmed tip in there already.
Yeah.
Like it's a dollar.
Oh, okay.
So I was talking to my girlfriend, and she ordered a Get this weekend, and we went in the car she ordered, and hers was exactly $10. I'm like, you don't tip them? She said, why would I tip them? They're doing their job. Like, I'm paying this service. I'm paying this tax. I don't need to tip them. So I was wondering, you know, Corey, and I use Lyft daily almost. I was wondering if you tip.
No, I don't.
So am I doing it wrong by tipping them?
Nah, I don't want to say that you're doing it wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For tipping. Obviously you like the service.
Right.
You're not tipping like $10. You're tipping
a dollar and change.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. The tip's not included or is included?
It's not. You can enter a tip in before.
If it's not, I would always tip.
Okay.
Yeah, I would always tip.
I just feel like 15%.
I just don't feel right. It's like,
right.
It's like, you know,
no.
Sometimes like I use this service called Peapod
right.
that my groceries delivered,
mm-hmm.
and I always tip the guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's nice.
Yeah.
My man Rel used to deliver groceries.
You need to tip.
Oh, and I'm not trying to be funny, but in your neighborhood, you know what I'm saying?
Right, where it's Midtown.
Like, where it's,
what's
where
called Midtown?
It's, on the east side, where people were more affluent. He used to make good money delivering groceries.
Just in tips.
For D'Agostino. Yeah, just in tips. He used to deliver to Marv Albert.
Really?
Yeah, he used to deliver to Derek Jeter.
I don't live by these people, Scott. That's I don't live by Derek Jeter and Marv Albert.
Just down the block.
Yeah.
Like 70 blocks. cool stuff.
He said when he was delivering the Marv Albert, he heard somebody in the back screaming. Yes! Don't bite me again.
Yes, I will. One of your cool tip story, though.
Don't bite me.
When I was working at Madison Square Garden,
it was
Patrick Ewing's first game, right?
Oh, you were there for that, huh?
Yeah, I was there for that.
You should have got a souvenir from that.
I would sell the game programs. They were $250 each.
You should have took one in your. Should have put one in your bag.
$250 each for the Knicks, yeah. Right? So I'm behind the basket, and guy goes, "Oh, programs." I walk over and say, "Hey, Keith Hernandez, how you doing?" He's like, "That's me."
Yeah.
Keith Hernandez bought two programs for $5.
Uh huh.
Gave me a $20.
And told you keep
the
change.
And told me to keep the change.
Nice job.
And gave me an autograph without even asking.
And you still have it?
What?
You still have it?
I don't have it.
And then asked you to do cocaine with him.
You want to meet me in the back?
And then Don Mattingly was sitting down the aisle for him, and he said, "Can I see your ring? Because I don't have one."
Oh, so then you just made that part up.
Oh, wait a minute. No,
so you made that part up.
I know a Met fan is talking about.
I did not make the Keith Hernandez cocaine thing up. That is completely true.
No, that's
made up that he asked me to do cocaine.
But he was there. He talked about it in his book. Right. You just made up a Don Mattingly wasn't even there. That never happened.
It's true that Don Mattingly doesn't have a ring, so I didn't make that part up.
Okay. Well, Scott, you don't know people don't have a ring. You know people, name a Met in the last 30 years that has a ring.
Well,
nobody.
Went to the World Series.
Yeah, David
Is
Wright
that a ring? Is that a championship ring?
Did David Wright have a ring?
No.
You see, you sitting here talking
Come
trash.
Come on.
And Florio got now. Florio, who's a Met fan.
He's a nice guy, Mike Florio.
Yeah, he got to listen to this. He got to listen.
It's all your fault.
And you haven't heard him on Friday nights.
Florio team don't have no championships. None of them.
None of them.
He's never seen a championship
in his life.
You know how terrible he must feel.
Yeah. it'll make him feel great when they finally win one. Though.
When?
It's like Scott. You can't pick battles that you have no way of winning. You're talking about championship rings to Yankee fans.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Keith Hernandez versus Don Mattingly, though.
But
you're a younger Met fan. I lived through a glory era.
A glory era.
Yeah.
We won one championship.
Era. One
a
year
glory
is an era.
Where we won one title. One.
That's not an era, Scott. Well, Seattle's having an era right now.
Yeah, they are.
Seattle's definitely having an era.
The 80s Mets were very good, though. That was fun.
They did a lot of cocaine, too.
What's that?
You know what? You know why
you
have to
talk? There were a lot of Yankees that did this, too. You know?
They didn't write books about it.
Well, because they weren't notable players.
Scott, this is his Giants had cocaine.
What do you mean, Dwight?
Oh, yeah, so you need to bring that up.
Lawrence Taylor, yeah. I saw Lawrence Taylor in the elevator.
Why are you? You don't even have to make these things up. They're true.
They're true.
But didn't you want to bring that up? I could just bring up when you were a Jets fan. They stunk then, too.
He took it back on you to when you were a Jets fan.
I never was a Jets fan.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, we have audio.
I'm not going to root for your kickball team.
We don't need you. We were champions without you.
By the way, you know how full of it he is, though? It's like at the beginning of the show, you were talking about, he's like, is that the young lady you were waving to outside?
He's like,
I'm a nice guy. I talk to people. Yeah. I ain't seen him say hi to one guy in here since this place opened.
That's not
he's
true.
So
you
know full
that's
of
not
it.
True.
He's so full of it.
You know Doty? You know Doty out there? Oh, he's a great guy.
I don't know
who he is because you're not friendly with him.
I always see you saying hello to the ladies.
And you,
Sussman, why are you? You're opposite of most people, Sussman. You're
really?
Very cordial in person.
Yes.
And yet, online, you refrain from all these people.
I do.
That, you know,
yeah,
which is the opposite of most
callers.
People these days.
You're right. That's a great
most
point.
People
Sorry,
don't,
point.
Yeah, they don't deal with humans anymore. They like the, you know, that's online
texting. He hates
texting.
Tweets. He hates phone callers.
It's not a bad thing. It's he's kind of gone the opposite way.
Yeah.
Here's why you have to tip on Lyft.
Okay.
And
Get and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Everything like that.
Yes.
If you're like me and you leave your phone in the car, you got to get it back. You leave your laptop in the car, you got to get it back. So if you don't tip, you might not get them back.
That's true.
That's a good point, Corey.
What if you get the same, you know, guy again?
Yeah, that's a good point. Corey, you own this
I've never
brand.
Heard of a Get until now.
Yeah, it's good.
G-E-T, Get?
G-E-T-T.
Actually, it's in Manhattan, though, Scott.
Oh, okay.
And that's what Greg is explaining. It's in Manhattan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be in Manhattan to use it.
Does it go up, to uptown?
I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna find out tomorrow.
I think it does.
They'd be like, "No, Poppy."
So I can't get a Get in Queens.
You can. I don't
get
know.
Lyft or Uber though out there, right?
You can check Get. I don't know. I've never tried to use it in Queens, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure. All right. We talked about a lot of football those 15 minutes. So let's take a break. There's too much.
Sorry.
That was too much.
Hope y'all made the playoffs.
You probably didn't make the playoffs. You started Blake Bortles. We'll talk about him. I promise you. When we come back, you're the Roto Experts.
I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Michael Florio, you are our producer here. Obviously, you choose the music for the program as well. It is, as I announced in the earlier portion of the show, to start off the show, it is Monday, December 5th. Why are you wishing people a Merry Christmas?
I figure let's go with some holiday music because...
No. That's not holiday music.
That one was called Merry Christmas.
Right. Is there a Happy Hanukkah one in there? No.
I'll have to find... Chris Pavona cut up all our holiday music. If there's not a Happy Hanukkah one, yeah. I will find one and
cut it up. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
I'm sure you know how I feel.
Why are you anti-Catholic?
I'm not anti-Catholic. I'm not a big Christmas fan of music.
Why is that?
Just doesn't do it for me.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry.
What about you? What about Scott Engel?
I'm okay with Christmas music. I like a lot of it. You know, it's. I don't know if there's a lot of Hanukkah music out there, unfortunately, that people are familiar with. We celebrate both in my household, but, you know, this time of year I'm used to it. You know, it's a good feeling. It's like probably one of my – it's interesting because there's a lot of Jewish artists who have made Christmas albums, like Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, et cetera. So that's interesting, number one. And number two, it's like I love Mariah Carey's Christmas album. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, I watched the video, but
touche. I'm
all about. What about Adam Sandler? Had a very good Hanukkah song.
Four of them, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were great.
Yeah.
Greg, just you know, that's not. His holiday.
I just don't like Christmas music. It just doesn't do it for him.
Greg, I don't either.
Oh, okay, Tom. let's go back to football here. The Broncos and the Jaguars yesterday. Denver wins 20-10. But I found this game very interesting for multiple reasons. Number one, Paxton Lynch is bad.
Accuracy is going to be an issue. This was the knock against him coming into the NFL. That he was going to be a quarterback that would be more of a project. He had to learn to play the position at the NFL level. I think yesterday you saw where accuracy was definitely a issue for Paxton Lynch. He just didn't look good.
No, he did not look good. The stats are equally terrible. 12 for 24, 104 yards. Demaryius Thomas, 6 for 61 after a massive game last week. Manny Sanders, 3 for 28.
Yeah.
And we don't know Trevor Siemian will be back next week, which could bode pretty poorly against Tennessee for Emmanuel Sanders and or Demaryius Thomas. Rushing wise, Devontae Booker carried the ball 18 times, only found 35 yards of rushing. Did find his way into the end zone though. Capri Bibbs gets hurt, but before that was 5 for 49.
Yeah, Capri Bibbs was actually running better.
He was absolutely.
Booker. You know, Booker's just too hesitant. You know, he gets a lot of volume though. It's this team has a tough upcoming schedule. No matter who's at quarterback, you know they got Tennessee, they have New England, and they have Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
They have to earn their way into the playoffs, and the fantasy numbers are not going to be friendly.
They're not. No, they're absolutely not. The other side of things with Jacksonville. Right. So this game was a close game most of the game. 17-10. Jags got the ball. Blake back to pass. And it looks like he just kind of throws it into the ground. You know what? They're converging on him. Let me throw it into the ground, move on to another day. Except he didn't throw it. He kind of just dropped it and then, and then walks off the field. Tony, this guy, Blake Bortles, 19 of 42 yesterday, 181 and two interceptions. His leading wide receiver was somebody named Neil Sterling.
Yes.
Marquise Lee, 3 for 34. Allen Robinson, 3 for 31. This, forget a regime change. They need a quarterback change in the worst way.
Well, it's easy to say that because sometimes I agree with you and sometimes you...
Oh, he went to Monmouth too, Scott.
Yeah, I was...
This is the guy who went to Monmouth?
This is the guy that I said about earlier in the show. Okay. He's a tight end and he went to Monmouth College.
Oh. Yeah. Monmouth College,
and he's getting a couple shots because of
Julius Thomas.
Mr. Julius Thomas. Here's the thing with Blake Bortles. You look around the National Football League, I mean, there's teams that have less quarterbacks than him, so it's going to be hard to go ahead and replace him. He makes some bad decisions, there's no doubt about it. But the one thing that's amazing about Blake Bortles is the fortitude that this kid has. He takes a beating back there, and he gets crushed every single game. And he came up wincing, and he could barely move his shoulder yesterday after a run that he could take a lot of bounds. And he stays in the game every single time. And sometimes, like, the coaches should get him the hell out of there because he's terrible as it is. But you look at plays like that, and he did have a rushing touchdown, and he ran for 30 yards yesterday.
So basically, Tony's saying, let Chad Henne take a beating.
He reminds me of Steve Grogan, to tell you, back when the New England Patriots sucked.
Oh, yeah.
Back
there,
taking a beating every single time and just doing his job and never going to be a great quarterback. Like, I look at Blake Bortles' upside as being the top 15 quarterback. That's it. He'll never get past the 15 point.
Turning the football over, obviously, is not going to help. But, and there is a but to this, he can give you some yards running as a scrambler.
He can.
He scores a touchdown as a runner yesterday. Runs for 29 yards. I mean, listen, you want to see the garbage time. You want to see the two touchdowns. You want to see the 300 yards of garbage time action. I think that is.
We said the same thing about Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I mean, and Kaepernick does it better. To get this guy in your lineup right now, I think it's going to be tough.
They have Minnesota, Houston, and Tennessee the next 3 weeks.
I think you can probably cut him at this time of the season.
I got a two quarterback league. I don't feel comfortable rolling him out there next week.
Let's talk about TJ Yeldon. No?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I guess. Nothing else to talk about. I'm sorry, not TJ Yeldon. I mean,
you didn't want to talk about TJ Yeldon. Let's talk about TJ Yeldon.
I meant the Nard Robinson. Yeah. I picked him up, dollar make you holler, got him for $1 last week. I don't know if he cracks my lineup over the course of the next weeks 14, 15, and 16, but I think he could be an interesting addition for running back depth. You never know what could happen.
He got hurt yesterday.
Nard Robinson?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's why Yeldon started carrying the ball.
Right. Well, sorry, I missed that. What the hell happened to him?
Plus, the next 2 weeks, the Minnesota and Houston's defense are going to be tough on this Jacksonville defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened to Allen Robinson, Scotty?
Not Allen Robinson, Nard Robinson.
Oh, Nard Robinson. Yeah. All right, he's only having Allen Robinson. Okay.
What happened to Allen Robinson? He has 10 PPR points in his last three games. That's what happened to him.
Tony, not that I'm looking forward to next year, but where do you draft Allen Robinson next year? And DeAndre Hopkins, for that matter. I know we've compared these guys quite often here this year. What do we do with them next year?
Yeah, I think they're going to both be going late in the second round because people will say, oh, you know, you'll get to a point where you're like, oh, the promise is there. You know, they've done it before. I'm going to go and pick them. And I think a lot's going to have to do with who is the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach.
Right.
If it was an offensive coach as opposed to a defensive coach, it's going to make a difference. If there is a quarterback change, which I don't think there'll be, I think a new coach will stick with Blake Bortles for 1 year until they figure it out. So I think he goes late in this. I think both those guys go late in the second round. I thought Hopkins was a mistake because when they brought Lamar Miller in, I thought that they would try to be a running team and try to control the ball. And I didn't think it would be this bad with Brock Osweiler, but this is an amazing thing. I think the late second round, if Brock Osweiler was the quarterback, but if you bring in like a Tony Romo or they were able to sign Matt Stafford, you never know. He could go back in the first round.
The Lions can't lose Stafford, right? Like, that can't happen.
No.
Right. Nice, too important for that franchise.
I think so, too. Scott, did you have something?
Kaepernick's made himself available.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Is he someone that's on your radar, Scott?
Nope.
Kaepernick for Houston?
He wants to be a free agent, so he's available.
I don't think that's going to fly in Texas. No. Look at this boy right here. Let's see. Come here, young man.
You don't get too many kind around easier parts. Yeah.
That's a nice-looking afro you got here.
Kaepernick?
Son, bitch.
Houston? Texas?
Probably. He needs to probably be someplace a little bit more progressive. He's staying in California.
Backing up that Ryan.
Huh? Yeah, he needs the Bills to move to Toronto.
Yeah, exactly. He needs the Bills to move to Toronto. Then he'd be the starting quarterback.
What is going to happen when Derek Carr in Las Vegas? That could be fun.
Yeah, but I don't – like Tony talked about it earlier. They don't have the population to sustain the NFL.
No, but according to what I read, they're going to file to relocate there. I don't know if they're going to get the votes, but they're going to try.
Right.
I'm not saying it's a good move. I'm just saying they're going to.
I don't know. I think that's interesting.
I don't know. Those people with the costumes and the Black Hulk, can they afford to go to Vegas?
See, that's the thing. I'm quite sure they probably can. NFL ticket is not. And then that's, a 3-hour ride, 3.5-hour ride for them? Yeah, I guess you can see it. I don't know. I don't know. If I'm going to Vegas, like, for the weekend, I'm not one of my...
You're not going to see the Raiders.
I'm not going to see the Raiders.
It's a tourist attraction, you know? Vegas is a tourist place.
We'll see how it plays out.
How much of the locals are really going to support it?
Scott, would you go to a Raiders game or the Kiss Mini Golf Course?
I'd do both if I was in Vegas. But you know what, though? I could always go to an NFL game. If it was a one-time thing, I'd rather go to the Kiss Mini Golf Course.
Yeah, Sussmania, did you know the Kiss had a mini golf course?
I did, because Scott has told me on multiple occasions.
It's in the Rio, yeah.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Scott had like seven women go with him to this thing, right? And I'm like, how the – I'd never seen seven women at a fantasy event. How did Scott get them to go golfing with him?
Yeah, seven women with you, Scott?
Not even golfing, mini golfing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Any of them know your wife?
What's that? Ooh.
Any of these seven women know your wife, Scott?
Yeah, they're going to be at your funeral.
The Oakland Raiders, or potentially future Las Vegas Raiders, defeated Buffalo yesterday 38-24. Another cover behind victory for Oakland here, who looked like a totally different team in the first half and in the second half. In the second half of this game, and they just pulled away. Buffalo could not keep up with them. They were led by Michael Crabtree, 7-for-74 and a touchdown. And Latavius Murray, who really has come on strong as of late since coming back from this injury, 20 carries, 82 yards and two, Corey.
Yeah, Murray, nice, once again, a nice performance by this offense. I thought they were dead in the water for the most part of this game. I thought that they didn't have no shot at getting back in it, and they kept fighting.
Second week in a row.
Yep, kept fighting, kept getting back in it. The O-line was solid, and Derek Carr and the crew started to make their push. The O-line gets a lot of credit for this one, also the running of the young man Latavius Murray, who is – been very impressive these past couple of weeks.
He has been.
Is he in WR1 territory?
Maybe RB.
I'm sorry.
I think he's an RB2, and here's why.
No, Scott, he's an RB1.
Well, you know, maybe when you compare him relatively to everybody else.
No, I'm looking at the numbers.
But, you know, Latavius Murray, he's doing really well because that offensive line is very, very good. Maybe the best in the AFC. Latavius Murray takes what's blocked. He's strong and he's got good vision, but he doesn't make anybody miss. But the numbers are there because he scores touchdowns.
I watched that game and I've never realized how big Latavius Murray is. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about 6'4", 6'5", running back.
There's a lot of area to tackle there.
He's a big dude, and he does everything that's needed for this Raiders offense. They can throw the ball with two great wide receivers, and he gets a lot of the tough yards. And the two touchdowns, he's definitely touchdown dependent, though, because yesterday he played really good and still only 4.1 yards a carry.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, he's got the two touchdowns yesterday. He's got like six in his last four and eight 11, in his last five.
11 on
he's,
the season.
He's very touchdown dependent. He's not Matt Asiasi. What I'm saying is, like Tony says, he's very to touchdown. You watch him now and you're like, this guy is not spectacular, but you know he takes what's there and he's very strong near the goal line.
He also has 29 receptions on the season. How many running backs do you think have scored more fantasy points in the PPR than Latavius Murray?
I'd say about nine.
He is RB10 right now on the season.
He's been really good. He's been really, really good, especially as of late.
He's touchdown dependent, but he continues to get him.
20 for 82.
This is a good offense. It's always going to put him in.
Scott, you're saying he's touchdown dependent. He had over 100 yards yesterday. Over 100 total yards yesterday. That's not touchdown dependent.
You know what, though? He had 45 rushing yards the week before, 33. The numbers are there. I can't ignore it. You know what I'm saying? Like he said, he's RB10. All I'm saying is he doesn't look that impressive doing it.
Doesn't have to look impressive as long as he's getting the job done, obviously. Michael Crabtree, we said it had a good game, 7-for-74 here. Amari Cooper saves the day with a long touchdown for him. Otherwise, that would have been a very large disappointment. On the other side of things, for Buffalo.
If he didn't have those touchdowns, though, he would only have 13 fantasy points in a PPR league. Latavius Murray.
Oh, he's Latavius Murray, okay.
Right, so if he didn't have the two touchdowns, he would only have 13 fantasy points.
Right.
That would give you the 18th best. I mean, that's nothing to write home about.
No, nothing to write home about. Still an RB2, though. Still a rock-solid RB2.
Yeah, but we're trying to win here. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning.
But he gets the goal line work, though.
Yeah.
He does.
So I feel comfortable with him getting that goal line
you
work.
You know that offense is going to put him in position.
I think I think when you do your ranking, Scott, you know how you get a player trending upwards, you give him a bullet. Yeah. I think Latavius gets a bullet for the final 3 weeks.
Oakland, KC, Thursday night.
I don't think he's a bullet. I think he is what he is.
Okay. He just doesn't like Latavius Murray.
Right. No, I like him.
I don't think you do.
No, he does. he does. That's his guy.
That was my guy. Like I preached about him a few years ago. It's just like I thought he was going to have more bigger playability than he did, than he's turned out to be.
LeSean McCoy was fantastic yesterday. 130 yards on the ground, 61 through the air, seven receptions, and cramped up. Mike Gillisley comes in, steals a couple touchdowns from him. He's fine. He is just insane. You know, he's just year after year after year. This guy's.
I don't think he cramped up because
really?
He came out in every short yardage situation.
Okay, I thought he was stretching out on the sidelines. I thought I saw it. Florio, yeah. you obviously watched this game. Was McCoy cramping up yesterday?
It looked like a little bit, but what Tony said is true. On all like the third and four,
all of them.
Gillisley was coming in because Gillisley is a powerful runner, and he looked good yesterday.
Yeah, two touchdowns.
McCoy's just incredible. There was this one play yesterday where he just stopped and froze like half the defense. And then just like accelerated. It's just like he's the most fun cutback runner to watch.
I don't know what he did this past offseason. Maybe it was all the trouble with the law and stuff like that. You know, maybe somebody sat him down and told him to get serious about playing football again. But he is running like how he ran in Philadelphia. I'm very impressed with LeSean McCoy.
I still worry about, though, like talking about cramping up. I worry with McCoy, though, that like he could – I know anybody can get injured, like Tony says, but some guys are more injury prone than others.
You have to build that into
his game. I worry
that
I'm a little bit more about LeSean McCoy than anybody else that he's going to come out
you
of the
game. You have to build that into his game, but you'll take it. If you told me that Shady was going to be on, let me look at it, RB5 on the season, but you won't have to go without him for 3 weeks, I would sign up for that.
Yeah, I would too.
Okay. There you go. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll continue talking week 13 of the NFL season. Stick around. We'll be back after this. Experts of the morning, Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, Corey Parson, Tony Cincotta, the Roto Experts in the morning.
Christmas music.
This is.
Yep.
This is Christmas music at its finest.
Christmas time, holiday season.
I did walk through around here, check out the windows over the weekend.
Macy's,
Lord and Taylor.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool enough, I guess. Whatever.
I'll be kind of. I probably do the Christmas thing this weekend. I might do a little rock center, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that,
right?
You know, do the ice skating thing. You ever been ice skating down there, Greg? You seem like you've done that before.
I want to go,
okay?
But Judy hates ice skating, so I was like, what do you mean you hate ice skating? What do you hate ice skating for?
Well, does your friend work over here? You think she might like ice skating?
Should I ask her?
Y'all, okay, you three of y'all can go together.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah, because you are the young lady that work here, and your girlfriend.
Right.
Since your girlfriend don't like ice skating, she can watch you and the young lady, other young lady,
and
ice
skating. And maybe she'd be more interested in ice skating?
Yeah, maybe so.
Greg could have an ice skate upside the head.
They'd be like, Greg, why you didn't come to work?
The New England Patriots defeated the Rams yesterday 26-10 in a game that at no point was close. The Garrett Blunt had a 43-yard touchdown.
Right off the rip.
Right off the bat here. 88 yards rushing total for Gary Blunt. Julian Edelman, man. We talked about hanging on before, Tony, with Jordy Nelson. If we just hung on for Julian Edelman, just hung through this thing, this is the Julian Edelman you hoped you had, right? Now, week in and week out, a ton of receptions, a ton of yards, maybe not getting the end zone week after week, but this is the Julian Edelman you hoped you had.
Yeah, so he's been pretty consistent as of late. The New England passing game, of course, Tom Brady, he did not have the first 4 weeks, and that definitely impacted the foot injury, of course, he was dealing with. And without Rob Gronkowski, the numbers are going to tick up as more targets involved in that offense.
The Malcolm Mitchell ascendance continues. 8 receptions for 82 yards yesterday, Scott. Your boy Chris Hogan also has a touchdown, 4 for 23. Malcolm Mitchell, is he now weekly startable? Not for weekly. Is he now startable in the playoffs?
I would have to say so, you know, without Gronk in there. I think it was very clear, you know, they want him involved in the regular flow of the offense. Brady, I think, has developed an affinity for this kid, you know, what he can do. He can get downfield. I think whatever we've seen with Brady that, you know, when he has, like, a downfield weapon, you know, he goes to it. It's very interesting, though, something when I think about Brady, I was thinking about what Mike Lupica said in the New York Daily News yesterday about how Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time because outside of Randy Moss and Gronk, he's never had an outstanding pass catcher. And you look at all the other great quarterbacks in history, they've all, like, you know, Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, et cetera.
Relax. He had Randy Moss at the top of his game.
He had him for one season.
That's the year he won the MVP.
One season.
The year he broke the record and won the MVP.
You can look at every other quarterback in history. They've had like Bradshaw had Stallworth and Swan. Aikman had Michael Irvin, you know, for a long time. He had Randy Moss for one year.
Yeah, he cheated for the other years too.
this game obviously was never close. Jared Goff was terrible. 14 of 32, 161 yards passing. He has a touchdown in deep garbage time to Kenny Britt, 2 for 67. He had one 1-yard catch for the touchdown, another 66-yard catch, so Kenny Britt's fantasy day was saved. But like I said earlier last week, I don't know if you could start Kenny Britt when you're not facing the New Orleans Saints here, basically. I wasn't confident. Again, it worked out okay, but Jared Goff is absolutely brutal. Todd Gurley, also 11 for 38. Todd Gurley's got to be on the fantasy benches, right? He has to be.
Yeah, I was saying there was no way I was going to start him yesterday. No receiver since Jared Goff has become the starting quarterback has topped 60 yards. Gurley's just like, you know, he's depth now. It's just like he's got 30 points in his last 3 games, 37 in his last 4. He's averaging less than 10 points per game in his last 4. He's got. He doesn't have a 100-yard game yet this year.
Here's the thing about it.
He doesn't have a 90-yard game.
We're talking to Todd Gurley owners. Guess what?
What?
Their season is over.
You're right.
They're done.
You're right.
Not if they worked a waiver wire or made a trade and had him on the bench.
I completely agree.
Then he's on their bench.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
For the most part, if we're talking to Todd Gurley owner, they're not in.
When we Todd Gurley, we need to talk 2017.
When you drafted Todd Gurley in 2017?
That's it. Because
where are you drafting him?
Huh?
Where are you drafting him in 2017?
I'll take him on. Well, we got to see what happens with the situation. Looks like Fisher's going to be back. Quarterback. I'm looking at the 2-3 turn. Won't be there in the 2-3 turn.
Ugh. I didn't want this guy there. We take a break. When we come back, more games to go over, including the game we've been avoiding, or one of us have been avoiding for quite a while. We'll do it next on the Roto Experts. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on Demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.